Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's telephone conference of Allianz SE on the publication of the financial results of the second quarter 2011. For your information, this conference will be taped. I will now hand over to Mr. Emilio Galli-Sukarov. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our conference call on the second quarter. As usually, Mr. Diekmann will start, and Mr. Bethe will later on guide you through the figures. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a beautiful morning for different reasons if you look at the stock exchanges, and also if you look out the window, the weather is not that nice actually here. So, nevertheless, I would like to welcome you to our conference call on the results of Allianz in the first half year of 2011, and as always, I hope that our explanations will have an influence on your reports later on. As usual, I will give you a short overview about the business development of Allianz in the first half of the year 2011. Then I will guide you through the global economic framework conditions, and I will talk about our view on the situation in Europe and the euro, and I will give you our outlook for the year 2011. Afterwards, Mr. Bethe will, as usual, guide you through the details of the second quarter. But before I start talking about the business development, I would like to say a few words about one of the most difficult half years in my more than 8 years as CEO of Allianz. So far in 2011, we've had major natural catastrophes and large disturbances on the capital markets, and that led to the fact that there was no single month without any severe and major events. In view of the European and American debt crisis, even other important events such as the North African and Arab revolts or the famine in parts of Africa were pushed into the background. People are now truly concerned where these developments will lead us to, and that's reflected on the capital markets, of course. The fact that, in the meantime, even solid government bonds are being questioned shows the degree of uncertainty and insecurity. I think it's in all our interest, and I am glad about the fact that issues such as the over-indebtedness of the government budgets have become transparent, and that markets are sending a clear message to ask for a solution to these issues. But it's unrealistic to ask for that in short time frames and have high growth expectations in the meantime. Problems that have piled up over decades can't be solved within a few months. And for this reason, we believe that the basic decisions in Greece and the United States are highly positive, but it's also absolutely clear that more precision will be needed in the implementation of these measures and that the necessary actions will have to follow. We're convinced that all the players have understood and have clearly understood the urgency that is involved here, and then we'll come back to the topic of the debt crisis in a few minutes in more detail. For Allianz as a risk manager and long-term investor, these topics are part of our everyday business because we're acting on with a long-term perspective to our for our customers, and if need be, we're able to react quickly. And in view of the difficult global economic and political framework conditions, we've been quite successful in that, which led to a highly solid result for Allianz in the first half of the year. Our total revenues reached 54.5 billion in the first half of the year, were within our expectations and only slightly below the previous year, which had been coined by positive one-off effects in the German and Italian life insurance business. Our operating profit of slightly below 4 billion euros remained on the previous year's level. And especially P&C showed a clear improvement in the second quarter, so that in spite of the high net cat losses in the previous quarter, we reached a very positive operating half-year result of 2 billion euros. In life insurance, our operating result in the first half-year of 2011 was at 1.4 billion euros, and therefore on track for the target corridor we're aiming for of 2.2 to 2.8 billion euros for the whole year. For asset management, we had an operating result of 1.1 billion euros, and therefore it was once again a highly successful half year. our net income of 2.0 billion euros is, from my point of view, under the given circumstances, a very positive result. And even more so as it contains a charge of 326 million euros through current impairments on our Greece investments. We, just as other market participants, believe in the result of the measures that were taken for Greece because they support the necessary reforms. And in view of the uncertainties about the further treatment or further role of Greek government bonds, write down to market value was necessary at the end of June. With a solvency ratio of 180%, Allianz is still showing its large capital strength. With our business development, we are highly satisfied. The half-year shows just once again how positive our geographic and strategic diversification turns out to be, especially under difficult market circumstances. In the first half of 2011, we once again had a specific focus on our work for improved offerings to our clients and higher profitability, and I would like to introduce you to a few of our milestones in this area. As the first large insurer, also in preparation for the new regulatory situation with Solvency II, we issued a so-called contingent convertible bond in addition to an exchange option if a certain price level is passed. That is the option for Nippon Life as the buyer of the bond. It also offers Allianz an element of protection for the unlikely event that our equity should fall below a defined level. On the investment side, we not just passed the 1 billion euro thresholds in investments in renewable energies, but we also had two significant infrastructure investments in June and gained a significant share in the Norwegian gas transport grid Gatlet. And both these asset classes offer attractive and long-term profits for customers and shareholders, but they also have an additional advantage. They do not correlate that much with capital and stock exchange situations. As announced, we've increased our cooperation with car manufacturers. In Germany, France, and Italy, BMW offers its customers now the payment protection insurance and an enhanced, fully comprehensive cover of Allianz. And just 2 weeks ago, we were able to announce the cooperation between Daimler and our Indian subsidiary, Bajaj Allianz. In the first half of the year, we offered a new car insurance product on the market in Germany and France. With this new product, our customers can build up their motor insurance protection from a modular system according to their own needs and demands. And with a similar modular system, we've started in our health insurance business in France and in the private customer business in Italy. Our asset management segment was further strengthened by the introduction of a new distribution platform for PIMCO in the United States. Allianz Global Investors and Allianz Life have formed a joint venture that gives advice to corporate customers in Germany across different segments on questions of the employee retirement schemes. And the increasing provision demand offers us as a competent solution provider larger growth opportunities than trying to talk to individual customers. Across all business segments, we've newly set up our cooperation with Banco Popular in Spain and turned it into a new joint venture under the name Allianz Popular. And Allianz is the major shareholder in this joint venture, and it offers its customers a long-term, in the framework of a long-term distribution agreement, product for old age provision, asset growth, and classical P&C insurance. So on the one hand, we're expanding and offering new customer-oriented products, but on the other hand, we're reducing complexities within our company. In the first half of the year, we made great progress in the renaming of Mondial Assistance and Allianz Global Assistance, and this renaming will be finished or finalized in the next year. At the same time, we received the approval of the Russian Regulation Office to cluster our three Russian companies and offer a common name for all of those, and what we're aiming for is a common package of offers for our customers in Russia. The continuous development of a business made it possible that in PNC we were able to deal with a truly unusual number of natural catastrophes. We had to pay, we made additional payments to our customers of 910 million euros in the first six months, in addition to the payments that we usually have to our customers. Our customers were most affected by the earthquakes and the following tsunami in Japan, and then the next largest losses were in the natural catastrophes in New Zealand and Australia, followed by our American and German customers. The NatCat losses in the first half of the year were significantly above our plan of 535 million euros. And if in such a surrounding, which was coined that much by natural events, and if against this backdrop we were still able to reach a stable operating income of 2 billion euros in PNC, then that tells something about the ability of Allianz to sustain even severe burdens and nevertheless sustain its performance. In addition to these points from the from a core business, we're still working with a high degree of pressure on the introduction of Solvency II. We're on track with our works so that we can implement Solvency on plan, Solvency II on plan, but nevertheless there are uncertainties about the specific implementation of certain aspects of Solvency II. We've underlined once and again also in these telephone conferences that a wrong implementation of these regulations could lead to negative consequences for our customers and for the economic development as a whole. We don't believe that these disadvantages are being set up by the advantages that are obvious, but we fear that especially the German life insurance with its capital and interest rate guarantees will be affected, and therefore this is, would lead to disadvantages for long-term old-age provisions. But in the current situation, a strengthening of old-age provisions for an aging population would be especially important instead of pushing the capital market risk ever more into private and public households and budgets. We have already talked about the additional critical points. Non-European insurers will be preferred in their domestic markets because they won't be affected by the capital requirements that go too far from our point of view in some areas. And the role of the insurance segment as a long-term capital investor for the economy and especially for long-lasting corporate bonds will be restricted, and this will lead to a higher risk of crisis for the whole economy. But let me announce one thing once more. We are ready as Allianz for the introduction of Solvency II, and we support it. We support it explicitly. We also welcome the largest part of the work that's been done and the will to constructive dialogue. But once again, we ask you, we ask to come to a solution for the last critical point, and only then the large efforts of the economic segment, of the insurance segment, and all participants of Solvency II will pay off also for our public. That brings me back to the global economic situation, which is coined by the debt crisis and the slightly reduced global growth. 1 year ago, I had already told you that we're expecting moderate growth rates for the future. The German economy is still in a forceful upswing, and in the rest of the euro room, in spite of the debt crisis, economic upwards trends seem to persist. Nevertheless, we don't see a self-carrying upswing, but we assume rather more that the growth of the global economy will be reduced. And that is in line with the statements of large industrial companies when presenting their half-year results, and it is also in line with the last economic key indicators from the United States. But this is just a slowdown and not the major slump as the market suggests right now. In view of a slower economic dynamism in the second half of the year and with the acute debt crisis, we don't expect a strong and quick interest rate increase for the following month. We see the euro interest rates unchanged at 1.5%, and at the end of the coming year it should be close to 2.0%. The increase in raw material prices led to inflationary impulses, and we're not expecting to see a sustainable increase of inflation, but nevertheless investors will ask for a higher inflationary offset in the interest rate, and therefore we assume that for the United States and the European Union, the inflation rate on average will be at 2.5% or 3.0%. And at this point, I would like to mention one additional element on Europe. I explicitly do not talk about the euro crisis that is often in public discussion. For me, it's a debt crisis. At the height of the financial crisis at the end of summer and in the fall 2008, there were major efforts taken and that enabled us to master the liquidity crisis. But at this time, it was already foreseeable that the practice of excessive leverage would stick with us for years to come. But the euro as a currency has been and is a success. The advantages for citizens and companies in the EU are clearly in the focus. That goes from a significantly lower inflation rate than at German mark times up to a significant increase in employment. Europe has gained in importance as an economic area through the euro. That's shown in the fact that 26% of global currency reserves are denominated in euro, which shows that the euro is seen as a safe currency worldwide. But currently, the debt crisis is dominating the view on Europe, and it puts insecurity and concerns people and investors. We have Allianz customers asking us whether Allianz will be strong enough to sustain the consequences of the crisis in Greece. And the figures that we've presented to you today show that we're clearly able to sustain that. And Allianz customers can trust that we will keep our promises even as natural catastrophes and the debt crisis affect the world. Allianz, as the investor of customer money and as a company based in Europe, is of course interested in a stable and working European capital market. For this reason, in our annual press conference at the end of February, we introduced proposals to overcome the debt crisis or to help overcome the debt crisis in Europe. And we welcome and support explicitly the decisions of the Euro Summit of the 21st of July as an important, a very important step for overcoming the debt crisis. In addition to the consensus of the EU member countries, also the successful cooperation of the public and private sector supported that and led to that. And Allianz supported the solution with specific proposals. Therefore, it's obvious for us and that we will fully implement the amount that was agreed upon on the summit regarding the contribution of the private economic, the private finance sector. As you know, there are four solution options for the contribution of the private financial industry, and Allianz is now testing which of the portfolios is the best options for the interests of our customers, and the final decision will be taken after the final implementation of these options are on the table. And we are positive that the remaining insecurities will go away if the details for implementing the solutions taken will be published over the next few weeks. And the long-term success of the measures that were decided upon will depend on the fact that Greece consequently follows through with its tightening measures, reduces the governance ratio, and brings privatization forward. And go through with its structural reforms to come on a growth path that should be supported by the EU. In addition, private investors have to get incentives to bring capital to Greece also for the future, and there was a proposal of Allianz for a second step of the Euro bailout package that was discussed with all the parties, and this would be a government bond insurance mechanism that could be added, for example, to the ESM, the European Stability Mechanism, and that would then enable private investors to invest their means in a more targeted way. So if private investors would take the risk for the first 10% of their debts, and then the ESM would secure the next 40%, and then the privates would take the remaining 50% residual risk, then the ESM funds could work in a twofold way. At the same time, the question whether the funds that are available to the ESM would last long enough would go more into the background, and that would lead to a way that we get a functioning capital market on which private investors can act and work. Independent of the second step, the decisions that were taken now help Greece in reaching the necessary reforms and setting realistic targets. So the current crisis is major from our point of view, but it can be overcome. And if we are able to improve the institutional framework conditions, then it could even strengthen the euro after the crisis. For 3 weeks now, Italy has been seen or viewed critically with a high degree of anxiety, and we think that this is not necessary. There's no real economic reason for it. The deep mistrust in the solvability or solvency of Italy. The facts have been known for quite some time. The Italian economic force and the height of private assets on the one side and the measures that were taken to consolidate the budget on the other side show that Italy has all options to reduce its debt over the medium term. And you can see this on the second to last chart on the right side of the table. We see the private net wealth. And you can see that Italy is on the first spot here by far. So what we've seen is that with passing of the bailout package at the end of July, the interest rates premiums of Greece, Ireland, Portugal at least were reduced at least for a short time, but nevertheless they are still on a high level. That shows that the markets welcome the measures, but they do expect that the decisions of the summit will be implemented quickly, and a focus and quick actions of politicians and the economy could overcome obstacles here. And then we can expect that the countries will be given the necessary time to go through with their packages and to reforms and to increase their profitability and competitiveness. And of course it didn't help much to quiet the markets that in the United States the parties took so long to raise the debt ceiling and to reduce the government's deficit at the same time. And it's not clear whether the compromise will be sufficient to avoid a reduction of the creditworthiness rating by the rating agencies. In such a case, there would be a further increase in risk aversion of investors, but a major slump of American government bonds, from our point of view, is not foreseeable. I still believe in the power of action of especially of the private sector and of the United States and its availability to sustain these situations. So to sum up the first half of the year for Allianz, in spite of the debt crisis and in spite of the natural catastrophes, we have reached very solid results, and therefore I assume that we will reach the operating result of 2011 that we planned of 8 billion euros plus minus 500 million euros. And Mr. Bethe will now guide you through the details of the figures of the second quarter. Yes, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I will reframe myself to the highlights of the figures of the second quarter that we get have enough time for questions and answers later on. And I will guide you through the different slides. I won't present all of the slides to you. That is why I will tell you about the slide number. So we'll start on page 3. Revenues in the second quarter of 2011 were at 24.6 billion euros, and we had a strong operating profit of 2.3 billion euros. What did business look like in the individual segments? Well, in P&C, as Mr. Diekmann has just mentioned, we had an increase of operating profit by approximately 16% to 1.3 billion euros with a combined ratio of 95%, so at a really good level. In life health, we had an operating profit of 0.7 billion euros, and the new business margin which shows the value of the business from our point of view was at a good 2.5%. Our asset management performance showed the record level once again. We had 0.5 billion euros, so 528 million euros to be exact, so once again, record level. With a net income of in the quarter of 1.1 billion euros, despite the current burden of 326 million euros from impairments of Greek sovereign bonds, we're satisfied and we continue to show strong capital position, which is very important in these days, even more so than it usually is for our industry. On page 4, you can see the quarterly results. We always have a slight minus compared to the previous year's quarters, but this is a nominal development. In the second quarter, we had strong currency effects, foreign exchange effects. So from the gross 3.2%, 2.2% were due to foreign exchange volatility. So in euros, we had a reduction of approximately 90 basis points in revenues. The operating profit remained unchanged, more or less, and the net result was below the value of 1.157 of the previous year. And in addition to the result of the impairment from the Greek sovereign debts, that also led to foreign exchange, that was also due to foreign exchange effects. On page 5, you can see the development of our conglomerate solvency. It remained stable at 180%. Our shareholders' equity was slightly reduced, above all due to the payment of dividends. We paid the highest dividend of all times in the second quarter with 2.03 billion euros. On slide 7, you see the development of the quarterly revenues. On the right-hand side, you can see the division and total growth and internal growth. Internal growth is without consolidation and change rate effects, and here you can see the difference. We have this in P&C with an internal growth of plus 3.7%. Here prices and volumes are growing. That's a highly positive development in spite of the difficult conditions for P&C worldwide. Life health, minus 5.9 compared to the extraordinary last year, and this reflects the weakness of the bank assurance channel. I will talk about this in a minute. Then the asset management business once again grew by 21%, over 21%, so really strong. Now on page 8, the development in the different segments, strong development in property casualty and asset management, and in life health with 680 million for the first half of the year. We are on a clear trend for reaching our annual goal. We have said that we would want to reach 2.2 to 2.8 billion. So if we sum this up for the whole year, we would be at the upper end of this corridor. Corporate and other is below the previous year's level in the first half of the year. We issued equity-like bonds, and that helped us in the crisis, and that's reflected here the higher interest rates. The non-operating items on page 9, that's always very complex, so I would like to mention two components on page 9. On the right-hand side, there's the explanation for the first line, realized gains, losses, and impairments of investments net, and I would like to underline two lines here. First of all, realized gains and losses in equities. In the previous year, we had 150 million one-off effects from selling ICBC shares or from our Chinese holding that was really successful here, which we didn't have this year. And then in impairments net, on the second line, you see the change in debt securities. This reflects the impairment due to Greek debt, a sovereign debt, which then across all areas leads to a gross effect of minus 366 million. So in sum, we had minus 283 million here for the quarter. And as Mr. Digman has mentioned, we had a write down on all our assets. And compared to some of our international competitors who only did those write downs up to the year 2020, so just half of their portfolio and also taking other evaluation measures, which we didn't want to take for our portfolio. We believe that transparency and a conservative approach of Allianz will be helpful for the sustainable future. The other points aren't that important. Acquisition-related expenses, if the questions have come, this is about the so-called B shares of PIMCO. We bought so many of those and still have 17,000 less, and that reduces expenses. Why do I mention this? Well, that increases net income from asset management significantly and is therefore a very positive result for our shareholders. I don't want to go into tax benefits. We will come to this later on, but on page 10 you can see that for the shareholders, on page 11, we come to 1 billion euros for our shareholders. The different components that we had to write off, what's operating profit, what's net income, I leave this to the experts, and you can call if you have any specific questions on this. On page 11, I would like to underline that in sum, we have small exposure to the peripheral states. You see our exposure in Spain, Greece, Ireland, Portugal, and all those just amount to 1.8% of our bond portfolio, and you can see a table of the book value, so the unrealized losses before tax benefits and all that, and on the right-hand side, you can see the unrealized losses net as we show them in our net income. You can see that gross we have 720 million towards the end of June, and net approximately 236 million euros, so values that are quite moderate, and we feel quite good about our positions in these countries. I would now like to come to the P&C segment. The figures are on page 14 and follow.
The operating profit in the segment of the revenues were 10.2 billion euros, up 2.4%. The operating profit at 1.329 million euros, and the combined ratio was 95%, and we had 1.8% on Nat Cat, which is a normal quarter, but individual companies in Germany are faced with strong Nat Cats, and that we are assuming and regulate for our customers, and that's why the revenues were at 4% points. And you can find the major developments on page 15. And when it comes to the development of the growth figures, you see the nominal figures on the left and the column showing the growth. This is calculated on the basis of the internal growth. That column considers FX exchanges and consolidation effects. For example, in the first line, Germany went down by 1.6 million, but since we took out China out of the consolidation, there are 12 million, which flew out. So that means in real, the portfolio grew by 6 million euros. It didn't look that much. But for the first time in a number of years that we went back on growth in Germany, we wait for continuation. Growth dynamic is quite difficult. We want to grow where there is good profitability, for example, in the industrial insurance, and also in Australia, where we see strong price increases in both in Asia and also in other markets. And profitability is under pressure in the United States of America. That's where we do not want to really grow, and that's where we want to face and focus on market share. We want to keep our portfolio growth 3.7, and this is also adjusted by FX effects and due to higher prices, but also thanks to higher volumes up to 2.7%, as you can see on the bottom left. Page 16 shows you all the result components of the operating profit. Everything has improved. Our combined ratio is 1.3% low and 95%, which is a very good value, in particular if you look at the framework conditions. Page 17 shows you the key figures itemized to most important OEs, and you can also see the influence of NatCat, whereas the portfolio and was not challenged here. And in Germany in particular, in the U.S., we had high burdens in the U.S., which also had an influence on the results of the individual countries. So the cost development in the quarter was more or less stable. I can come back to that later. So the development of the loss ratio, it can be found on page 18. I don't want to focus on the details here. Page 19 shows you the expense ratio, and which is more or less stable, and a few special effects. The net cash costs that we pay are further going down. The investment portfolio in P&C are very positive, and page 21 shows you the development of the portfolio and the investment income. Portfolio grows up to 97 billion euros, and the current yield is 865 million euros, which is a very nice result despite the very low interest. That's where I'm leaving P&C, and I would like to draw your attention to the area of life and health. And that is starting with page 23. The revenues in the second quarter were 13 billion euros, below the very high result of the previous year. We had special effects on the Scudo Fiscale in Italy, but also the key account business in Germany, where with that 420 million one-off contributions in the second quarter, which will not continue each year, of course. Then the growth underneath and against recurring contributions was developing very nicely, so we are very happy with the results. Operating asset-based growth, we had 400 million euros of net inflows in the second quarter. The operating profit amounts to 679 million, which is a burden by current impairments on the Greek sovereign bonds. The value of the new business, these are the metrics that are trying to assess the future value of our current business, is at 242 million euros, and the new business margin is at a healthy 2.5%. Page 24 shows you the development of the revenues in the key OEs and the growth changes adjusted by FX exchange rates and consolidation. Germany, also, there is a minus 3.6 billion, which is a great value. Switzerland developed very well. Italy, on the other hand, we have significantly lower values. The banks, as you can see by the crisis, on fear of their own liquidity and do not invest in bank assurance, distribution capacity. And that's why the business is below the expectations. And also Asia-Pacific shows less premiums, basically due to very strong competition to other products and margins. And so we rather waive business and results in order to make losses. The U.S. business develops very nicely, up to 14% with very good margins, and adjusted for FX and consolidation effects. Page 25, the operating asset base, which can fluctuate very much. We see strong inflows in Germany, 700 million from the U.S., outflows in Italy and France, but also in Asia. There are a few old portfolios with negative profitability, with high guarantees as compared to the current interest that can be achieved. So we're quite happy that these funds have outflowed. And we keep an eye on this business, so we reckon with significant positive inflows, like in the previous year. So you can see the operating profit on page 26 after the value drivers. Apart from the investment result, where we had 76 million value correction in operating profit, there was also a negative development in technical result. But these are just calculatory results, so the fluctuations will be balanced down over the year, and for the overall year we are in the target corridor. Average asset base and operating investment income is what I want to skip, but instead I would like to go to 29. Page 29 shows the creation of new business based on new business margin and the value of the new business. So you can see it's developing on a high level with 442 euros above the value of the first quarter and also above the value of the third and the fourth quarter of the previous year. These are my explanations with regard to life and health. And now I'd like to draw your attention to asset management. The figures can be seen on the page 31. So the assets grew by 5.4% on a euro basis to 1.5 6.5 billion euros, and the internal growth was 11.1%, and net inflows was 21 billion euros at AGI, which only includes the development of outside AGI with 1 billion euro, and the operating profit went up by 2.3% in the euro area, up to 528 million euros, and internal growth was 14.5%, which is quite considerable. The cost-income ratio is issued at 59.5%, and that's the top figure below 60. You can see on page 32 and the following pages, you see the individual components. You see the assets under management of Allianz Group, and also the assets for third parties, and more than 5% growth, FX adjusted, and also the net inflows on page 33. I'd like to mention that it's not normal in such a crisis to still have net inflows, and our competitors would be happy to be able to show such a picture. The net fee and commission income on page 34, you can see a very strong growth, even in euros, it's 9.2%, 21.3% includes the FX effect. It's also important to see that not only the profit volume is increasing, but also the margin. So we have reached and we have surpassed the level of 40 basis points, which is the driven margin. And the risk management products offered to our customers are enjoying a very high margin and are quite attractive for the shareholders. The operating profit can be seen on page 35. We have a strongly increasing operating profit here. We further invested PIMCO. They opened a new trade house in New York, and also we invested in distribution and customer service significantly, which is behind the 100 million increase of the operating expenses. If we look at the key figures based on the individual segments and shares, and we can see both positive results here. You can see the exceptional performance of fixed income, the third party assets under management, 3-year outperformance, and operating profit shows top values. By 30th of June, we had 97 billion assets, so we're going to reach the next level. We had net inflow of 18 billion, and the operating profit increased by 11% in euro alone, and the outperformance is at unbelievable 94% in a 3-year average. On page 37, you also see positive development in the equity. We had positive net cash inflows, but not only the net cash inflows were positive, but also the operating profit increasing by 40% up to 35 million. And we have a cost income ratio of below 72%. So if we make 70%, we also will have a very good value in this segment. And the 3-year outperformance has increased up to 65%. Our target value will be 70, and we're on a good track. That's why I would like to end my presentation with regard to page 39 and give you a summary. 24.6 billion euros and 2.3 billion operating profit showed a very good, strong performance. Looking at the environment, specifically in P&C and asset management, have showed strong results. Our net income now is still okay, looking at the Greek sovereign bonds, and the capital position continues to be strong. Like Mr. Diekmann said, we're on the track of achieving our 8 billion euros operating target, plus minus 500 million. Thank you very much for listening. So we would be ready for Q&A. Who would like to start? Thank you. Today's question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We will take questions in the order received and will take as many time permits. If you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Michael Flemming von Börsenzeitung. Yes, hello, Mr. Diekmann, Mr. Peter, Mr. Kalin-Zuckerow. I have questions about two complexes, Greece and the general economic trend. Further to Greece, you mentioned that this radical value corrections is motivated because you want to be transparent and that you want to benefit from the conservative approach of Allianz. My question is, the idea behind it that that Allianz, with all these uncertainties, to make Allianz safe with all these environments? And the second question, given that scenario of a conservative approach, was that also an idea to also realize unrealized losses of government bonds of other countries? And the third question about the complex, and you, Mr. Dietmann, you mentioned the four different solution approaches for Greece. And to what scope will these financial burdens be materializing in former Allianz? And that's the second complex of my question, and regarding economic trends. And the groups also related to a starting downtrend in the economy. Do you feel in Allianz any signals of a downturn of the economy? And even if these signals could not be found, would you reckon with a downturn or weakening of the economy so that you would have to react on that operatively at this point of time? Yeah, Mr. Flemmer, thank you. Good morning. Let me start with this general economic trend. Mr. Peter is going to talk about the government bond in more detail. So in our portfolio, in life and health, we see a weakening or reduction, which indirectly is related to the economic trend. But in particular, we're looking at the regulatory environment, particular with regard to bank insurance that Mr. Peter mentioned. And there's a large interest of the bank to have savings and to keep the liquid funds within their companies, and that is a procedure that we have outlined before, and this has been reflected in our planning and the insurance area, and we plan for that. Given that scenario, this development, if you look at the FX adjustment, is still surprisingly positive. Otherwise, if you look at the second quarter, in particular in P&C, which directly relates to economy and reacts directly to the economy. And this also reflects that other industrial companies addressing this topic as well. If there is an expectation for a weakening trend for the second quarter, whereas currently the economic relationships are still very good. I'd like to come back. I mean, markets react upon these developments very sensitively, and that is a bit exaggerated. And so this weakening of the economy, and they conclude to a real drop or recession, and which is driven by the uncertainty that in a lot of markets, saving programs have been issued now that are not so concrete yet for us to say where or in which areas will this materialize and be successful. And the government support programs, and in particular for the U.S., will now expire. And I would not over-dramatize this situation. And I would favor the idea of having good bookkeeping, of saying there's going to be a weakening of the economy, and the upswing that we see at the moment in the economy will not go on like that. Mr. Bater, you might go on, please, for the government bond. Yeah, Mr. Fleming, good morning. This topic is relatively complex but very important. The first is very complex. For accounting reasons, various companies have their securities in various accounting categories. And our procedures, due to the fact that all the government bonds for Greece are in the available for sale category, and there are clear regulations that apply to the accounting principles or interpretation of these guidelines, there is a different procedure that you find. And we decided to strictly orient ourselves towards the guidelines, because financial service providers showed that this was not clearly accounted, and that left lead to a loss of confidence in the sector. Allianz is probably the most likely the best capitalized company in the group, in the industry, and we don't want to be seen as that we had shifted any losses somewhere in an unclear manner. And this was very positive, and that we clearly say what is our assets and what are our liabilities, and that helped us. This has nothing to do with making Allianz safe, but we are honestly communicating if there is a restructuring of these liabilities, and this is, of course, will go through the balance sheet and also the profit and loss statement. And further to your questions, whether we have other losses that we cover it elegantly with it as well? No, we don't do that. We only look at the position of the security and play by the rule. And we do not realize these losses on the other peripheral states and show it to the market, and do not show it to the market. We don't do that. It's very important to have a clear procedure about what did we do concretely. By 30 June of due to the ongoing restructuring, the entire portfolio, and not like other companies in our industry, was valued down up to 2020, and we went on the market value. And that led to that result. Once the restructuring will be carried out, we will reckon with a recovery of the value. But this is absolutely unclear at the moment, and we don't want to live from the principle of belief and hope, and we want to offer a clear statement of our assets and liabilities. Thank you very much. And Mr. Bethen, my final question about the solution options of the four procedures and the financial effects. Mr. Flemish, we're just checking this at the moment because it's still on a little paper at the moment, and we don't have this detailed information. That's why it was important what Mr. Dickmann is saying. It's important that politics not only show the creative framework, but also show the details. And once we see the conditions, we're going to pick which option is to be taken. So we don't want to place on the procedure play based on hope and possibilities, and we want to wait for that. The next question, please. Comes from Ulrike Dauer from Dow Jones, please. Yes, good morning. Hope you can hear me. Yes, we're up. And I would like to know, to what extent do you hedge the sovereign debt exposure? What is the net exposure? And what are the costs for that? And I'd like to come back to Italy, although you made clear that this should be treated differently. Well, I don't see any absolute figure for the exposure. I heard something like 20 billion, but I don't know whether that is still current. And I further would like to know, what is your long-term strategy for the pigs in general? And you cannot just go on an exit strategy, because this is investment is a buy and hold mini-grid, they said yesterday. Maybe you do a similar procedure. Let me come back to the final question. Of course, there will not be any strategic changes of our portfolio, and we have companies which are well positioned there, and it's a matter of course, Mrs. Dauer, of course, in particular when it comes to life, our liabilities will be covered with local assets, of course. So the question whether we will change our operation, our strategy, is not an issue at the moment, because of course we have to think, depending on how this will go on, whether on the investment side we should behave differently, but we don't see the basis for that at the moment. Mrs. Dauer, I can tell you further about the Italy exposure, to have the figure, which you can find in our publications. The gross value is 29 billion euros that we hold overall, item 29 billion, basically focused on the country of Italy. When it comes to, and what's the market value at the moment? That's the market value of 30 June, exactly. Mm-hmm. And the second topic that you asked, what do we hedge and what does that cost? We don't want to disclose that. We don't want to have any traders act and trade against these items. Thank you very much. Next question. Thank you, Mrs. Dauer. Next question comes from Michael Detering from Handelsblatt, please. Yes. Hello, Mr. Dickmann, Mr. Dave Better. Yeah, you covered my question about Italy already. I would like to further know about solvency too. What is the most important things that have to be changed? Does that relate particularly to this interest guarantees to life insurances would be endangered if that would be executed the way it is supposed to be? Or what is most important? So we have three major points that have to be changed. So the modeling of the long-term interest risks, which is over-controlled because for cash flow in 70 years and there are going to be any risk shocks when we all that. That's why we suppose an increase of the interest curve and the volatility is the second term, the contract boundaries of how to manage the risk, which is not an issue of risk capital need, but it's a question of whether we are able to control our business as how we should be business, and there is that's why solvency too is not of any use for us. And the third important point is the base of the individual asset class. And Mr. Diekmann mentioned that the burden for long-running corporate bonds, all the long-running corporate bonds, due to the high capital surpluses and volatility, is way too high. And this needs to be changed because otherwise you won't be able to make investments like in the past. Was that covered? Yes, thank you. Next question. So if you want to raise a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Karen Finkenseller, DPR. Yes, good morning. Thank you very much. I'd like to know whether you considered the situation for your impairment of the Greek government bonds would have materialized if the bond insurance would have existed as proposed by you, as it was suggested. Well, with regard to the Greece support, and this is also included in one of the options, and that's retroactively. That's why all the statements Mr. Baker made apply to how we're going to use this option. This also applies to your question. What is important for this bond insurer is looking forward. The question of how can we ensure in the future that financial investors and institutes will still be able to invest into Greek bonds without being exposed to the approach that they are playing with a bet, and that might lead to adverse effects. I think this concept of the bond insurer that was created within Allianz is a great opportunity in order to make sure that private investors will be able to re-enter the market, and that's why the burden of the public budgets will be taken away, and to leave the burden on the public, not only for Greece, but also for other countries. Sometimes we're reproached because it includes the word insurance, that we would do something on a pro domo level, and we are being asked cynically, why don't we do it ourselves? And which shows how difficult it is to differentiate your own interest and the overall interest of the economy. And I would be really thankful, and Mr. Kalitsugaro would be willing to explain this concept and send it around again with the explanations needed if we check this very seriously, because currently there are no alternative ideas known how you could react on such a situation in order to tackle those problems. So there. Then, does that answer your question? Yes, partially. I might also give the technical answer. It would not help us, because the insurance is only good if you buy it before. So we wouldn't have any lower loss. Was that clear? So you would have to buy the insurance before you invest 1 cent in Greece. Yes, of course. Because you cannot insure something retroactively. Thank you very much, Mrs. Finkenseller. Next question, please.
We have a question by Mirko Reitke of the Plato, please. Good morning. I have several questions. I would like to know, you're basically out of Commerzbank, And what about the amount of new business you're getting from the bank? And then about the saving Greece, and how far were you included in this? I haven't seen that much of insurance representatives being involved in negotiations with the public. And then I would like to know when you could imagine that U.S. bonds will get interesting for PIMCO again. They just announced a few weeks ago in a quite a spectacular fashion that they wouldn't invest in this area any longer. And then, I don't know if you want to comment on this, but Mr. Meister of Generali a few weeks ago talked about ERGO and the situation within ERGO, that this would be detrimental to the industry as a whole. Do you have the same opinion? Well, Mr. Rutka, first of all, the Commerzbank. Well, new business in life insurance has increased by more than 50% and in P&C by more than 15%. But that doesn't come as much of a surprise, because in the first half of the previous year, the whole Commerzbank was available for distribution, and because the whole Commerzbank system worked for Generali, so this is now the first half year that we have them all available. And other than that, the main interest of the banks is not right now to sell any life insurances, so we're affected by this, as I said before. And then, if you haven't seen the insurers that much at the IIF in the negotiations with the politicians, then this might be due to the question of how organized the IIF is. And I think that you can be sure to assume that our contribution in the discussions was substantial. Then about the statements, everything that goes through the news these days, through the newspapers, is of course not very positive for the industry, that's obvious. But we don't see any negative effects on our business, but rather positive developments, I would say. And the third question, when PIMCO would buy government bonds again, I can't answer this. You would have to ask PIMCO. Okay, if I may add something here, Mr. Diekmann, in Commerzbank, we had a 3% ratio in the new business from Commerzbank, and you said we're out of Commerzbank now. That's always in the newspapers, saying that Allianz reduces its commitment but continues to do business there. I would like to underline that in addition to the stocks we have there, we still have a dormant reserve there, and we're still guaranteeing all kinds of debt obligations of Commerzbank, and we have other liabilities. So we are a committed stakeholder, and in the framework of the regulatory options that we have, as you know, bank shares we have need to be backed with a lot of capital, but we're still supporting Commerzbank strategically and in the operating level. Could you give me the figure for this? Well, I can do this later on, and I will give the figures to Dr. Gansuguro, and he will hand them over to you, but I don't have them from the top of my head. Last year, the HT1 bond we had 2 times €53 million that we had to pay for this. Those aren't small amounts we're using, but I can't give you the overall figure now. Okay, well, we'll deliver this to you later on. Next question, please. We will now have a question of Herbert Fromme of Financial Times Germany. Please go ahead. Good morning, gentlemen. You said that in the German PC business has grown for the first time in years, but I would like to know ever since when has it grown for the first time, and then you will talk about a positive price factor in motor insurance that could be felt, so that motor insurance is the main driver for this change. But what about the volumes? Have you seen a change there as well, or is it just a price question? Well, good morning, Mr. Fromme. First of all, last question. We've had very positive new business figures, also in volumes. Mr. Schwartz just told me that we had a plus of 12% in the first half of the year compared to the first half of the previous year, and that's really a positive development. And I'll give you the other figures, seven or eight. hand it over to you in a minute. I'll have to look it up.
Okay, thank you.
Next question, please. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star or asterisk key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad, and please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Now a question of Alexander for Reuters. Well, hello, Mr. Digman, Mr. Beze. One question, because I can't find it in your half-year report. What about the stock ratio of Allianz right now? And if you look at the markets, how will it develop, or what are you planning to see in the stock ratio over the next few weeks or so? The stock ratio is still at 7%, and if we look at the stock exchanges today, then we're planning to see a further positive development so that the markets will calm down. I don't want to just pass over that. It, of course, that is a burden, and in the framework of our internal audits at the end of the first quarter, we will have to take a close look at this. And the stock ratio will remain unchanged? Well, regarding Solvency II, we will be somewhat driven out or forced to reduce that ever more, but we only have two opportunities. Either we use our capital in the area of investments, or we're using the insurance business. Our insurance business is doing great, so from this point of view, it would be rather likely that the stock ratio would rather be reduced or stay stable, but rather not increase. Okay, and on page 7 of the business report, by the way, we always have a presentation of the different asset classes. Page 37. There you can see the different asset classes. Okay, thank you, Mr. Hubner. Next question, please. We now have a follow-up question by Ulrike Dauer of Dow Jones. Well, three questions, basically. First of all, I would like to know, what was the foreign exchange effect on the net income? I've seen the figure on the operating result, but not net income. Then Mr. Betty was talking about the special effect of France on page 10. What was that? And then I would like to know about the topic of contingent convertibles. So why have you issued those? Because they might not be recognized as core capital, neither under Solvency II nor under Basel III. And then are you also planning to invest in other such bonds issued by others, other COCOs? Well, we're looking at the COCO instrument in detail, but when it comes to our capital backing, unfortunately, that is seen negatively on the Solvency II, so it depends on the final implementation of Solvency II. That's on your last question. Then the special effects on page 10 regarding Greece and France, that is due to the special treatment of losses from Greek sovereign debt in our French life insurance book. There's the capitalization in France that doesn't exist in IFRS, in which we are booking. In IFRS, it's reflected in a shareholder's equity, even though it's filled by selling bonds and with money that isn't available for shareholders or premium holders, so that's outside what policy holders can profit from, and therefore it goes through a net income, and that's the special effect there. It's a special accounting situation, so that in France, 135 million net are included in our books. That's the special effect. And the foreign exchange effect from net income, I'm still waiting on this. Could you tell me what the French name was once again? Reserve de capitalisation. And I abbreviated by the Reserve de Cap because the full French name is too complicated for me. Okay, next question, please. We now have Anne Seid of the Spiegel. Good morning. I would just like to ask you, could you give us your statement to the developments on the foreign stock markets now? Do you think it's that the term panic that is being used here is the right one? Well, in my introduction, I tried to make this clear. There are right now some negative topics. I mentioned the topic of debt crisis. We talked about the United States. We don't exactly know the measures that will be taken in the United States, and all this increased or has increased the tendency. You know, growth is weakening, and now the markets want to know in which segments this will be reflected, and there is some kind of a self-strengthening effect. There are some automatic trigger points, you know, for investors of funds where they have to react. And right now, and this is my personal statement, the stock markets do not reflect the real development of companies, because companies are in a very strong position. What the markets are reflecting is more the circumstances and under which these companies are working. So, as an investor, I believe you have to consider right now, if you look at the DAX, for example, we've come below the Fukushima values, and now you should ask yourself, when's the right point to enter into the market again? And we will definitely see counter movements in the near future, I think. Does that answer your question? Yeah. Okay, then I could answer some of the questions. The 3 months effect, 146 million euro on net income. That was Ms. Stella's question. And then the Commerzbank topic that we couldn't answer immediately, but we looked it up, and that's often better. We have 729 million on the equity side and 769 on dormant reserve and then lower two-tier bonds. So if you look at the whole commitment across all segments, we are talking about a real significant contribution in Commerzbank, and that's sometimes lost a little bit. And then the question of P&C for Mr. Frommer that we will have to answer. Do we have any additional questions now? Yeah, Jonathan Gold of Reuters.
And it would be interesting to see that, and there's an interesting environment for there. So the line has collapsed. Could you please answer the question again? Could you please repeat this? Well, the question was about further acquisitions. I know that Solvency II could lead to a push-up of several plans. And the question was, there were many assets that are supposed to be sold by banks and insurance activities. And in the near future, those were to be sold by banks. And now the question is whether these numbers of assets could bring down prices and then turn the assets more interesting for you. That was my question. Okay, Mr. Gold, you can see that on the M&A side, some things have changed. Our expectation is that this will be intensified. And right now, we don't see this on the price side, reflected on the price side. So that is why, I mean, we don't give any comments on specific M&A topics anyway, but I would stick to the statement, let's see what Solvency II will bring us. And against the backdrop of the anxiety and volatility of the markets right now, we don't think major M&A topics would be that attractive. Have you taken a look at IGS source? That does nothing for you? Oh, I can't comment on this. Sorry. Thank you. We will now look into the question list. Do we have additional questions? Well, currently we have one more question by Jean-Philippe Lacour. Well, bonjour and hello from Frankfurt. Yesterday, AXA presented its results for the first half year, and they have a net income of approximately 4 billion euros. So that's double what you are presenting here at Allianz, and AXA had a reduction of approximately 2 billion in turnover, but net income from selling some holdings. So what do you think about the fact that AXA now shows the double the profitability of Allianz in spite of being affected by Greece to a lower extent? But so are you a little jealous about the AXA results, or what's your position in this competition, in this race with your competitor, your main competitor here in Europe? Well, Mr. Lacour, to be honest, I wouldn't want to comment on AXA. I mean, if you compare the result of Allianz and AXA, I mean, given the answer basically yourself, and you mentioned that they sold holdings, you know, we will always clarify which parts of our net income are one-off and extraordinary effects, and which parts are part of ongoing business. And that's why in our reporting and in our outlook, we focus on the topic of the operating profit. Because the operating profit shows the underlying profitability of the business. And so I don't think we have to shy away from any comparison in this area. Okay, thank you. And in addition, both in AXA and Allianz, both companies are focusing on countries where the pressure on the margins is not that large, and will that develop further into this direction? That focus point of your strategy, that you reduce some countries, such as maybe the United States or I don't know where else, but where you have smaller margins, so that you're selectively focusing on margins and not volumes. Well, that's been our philosophy for quite some time. And the beautiful thing is, if you have such a large portfolio that is really diversified, that enables you for the first time to do what everyone's dreaming about, that you accelerate in areas or push in areas where the higher margins are, and that you withdraw somewhat in other countries. I mean, then the situation can change. Of course, we used to talk about the cycle that turns, the global cycle, and that was what we had in the past. But now we have different cycles in different regions of the world. That's the large advantage, you know, of having such a large group as Allianz, that you're not forced to, let's say, to get the revenues you want to accept everything that's available across the world. And you know, that's the advantage. Okay, thank you very much. Do we have additional questions? Well, Mr. Galizubaro, I have an answer here. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Beta. That was Mr. Frommer's question. Mr. Frommer, you had asked did we have growth the last time, and that took some time because we had to take out the portfolio in the growth in P&C, in the segment of P&C, sorry. I was told by Mr. Diekmann, so and we have to take out the portfolio transfer in industrial insurance. That has to be taken out. And if we do this, then you realize that the last time we had net growth, that was the year 2006. That was where it's at. And this is about Germany, of course, German P&C business. Okay, do we have additional questions? Yes, we do. First of all, a follow-up of Axel Höppner of Handelsblatt. Well, just One slight question, Mr. Diekmann, is that you've seen positive developments in your business due to the ergo crisis or issues. So do you have any hopes of gaining customers, some insecure customers from ergo? Well, Mr. Hoepner, you know Allianz so well. We'll never hear any negative comments on competitors from us. That's a good tradition. And, I mean, the answer is so evident, isn't it? So that's, I don't need to answer that question, right? Yeah, that's why I was astonished to hear the positive facts on the business that you were talking about. Okay, I might withdraw this. Thank you, Mr. Hoepner. Question? We have another follow-up by Michael Flaming of Versus Items. Okay, then I'll seize the opportunity to ask two questions on the current quarter. So how, first of all, has the solvency ratio developed? I mean, -30% of the stock markets would, the 167%, we haven't come this far, but have you also calculated what result is to be expected when in equities? We'll talk about the situation of yesterday. Well, Mr. Fleming, as we were talking with you and your colleagues the whole morning, we haven't been able to calculate this so far, and to be honest, we don't have to do this at this point. We will come to the end of the quarter, and we'll hope that there will be some time of a calming effect over time, and then we'll calculate this. Okay, thank you very much. Do we have additional questions? There are currently no further questions. Okay, then I would like to thank you all for your questions. Thank you for the answers. Have a great August and good report. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's today's conference. We would like to thank all the participants and wish you all a beautiful day.